9 to midday, The Talking Point on SAFM. The Talking Point on SAFM.
We talk now to Chiedza Chaguta, who is a programs manager at Hlanganisa Institute for Development in South Africa, in Southern Africa. And of course, we're talking about this Institute for Development in partnership with the Heinrich Boll Foundation and the National Shelter Movement of South Africa. Today, they are launching the new research report titled What is Rightfully Due? Costing the operations of domestic violence shelters. Chiedza, thanks for joining us. Good morning to you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Good morning to your listeners. Good morning to you.
So basically, we're looking at the cost of operating a domestic violence shelter, right?
Yes, that's right.
What drove you to want to put together a report and a research of this nature?
For us, the biggest motivation has been the fact that shelters for domestic violence survivors are severely, in fact, chronically underfunded by about 400%. And yet one of the biggest challenges that we have in South Africa is gender-based violence, particularly of an intimate nature, so intimate partner violence. A woman is killed every 8 hours in South Africa. And sometimes a third of that is by an intimate partner. And, you know, havens of safety like domestic violence shelters therefore become an important measure of response, you know, to that kind of violence.
So who should fund these shelters? Because, I mean, we know that global NGO funding has shrunk somewhat. Priorities are also competing and they are also changing. There's famine, there's hunger, there's all sorts of things. But also there's, you know, NGOs and the funders would look at the value for putting their money. So if with all those issues, then who should stand up and say, I am playing in this space?
You know, I think it's true that global funding, particularly for non-governmental organizations, has shrunk severely. But while it's a global problem, nationally, you know, every country has different dynamics. And the rates of gender-based violence in South Africa are particularly alarming. And, you know, there is need to make a deliberate effort in funding shelters. And I think it's a government's responsibility. What we are saying is it's government's responsibility, you know, to fund shelters, because it's a social service. But at the same time, we need to recognize that it's a specialized service.
Yeah. It's going to be difficult because you find, for instance, awareness programs, also funding towards that has shrunk quite significantly. I mean, we are sitting with a problem now where plus minus 250 people are infected with HIV in South Africa, and it's, especially it's young people. And you remember when we were confronted with the issue of HIV, when it started, there was a huge education awareness and drive and so on, when we changed our minds around about 2008, 2010, thereabout. So there was a huge drive, and that has since subsided, and yet the problem still persists. So it's going to be difficult then to find that, you know, there's money available for that. There are even budgets for that. People will sit and say, let's budget for awareness programs in South Africa. Let's budget for the shelters and the shelters that take care of the people who have been abused, who have been traumatized, and so on and so on.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's difficult, but you actually bring up a good example. You know, the fight against HIV in South Africa has been one of the most successful campaigns, you know, to the work that Treatment Action Campaign did. And, you know, it brought to the fore the importance of providing access to treatment for people that are living with HIV. But if I can just bring you back, you know, to the current moment. I'm not sure if you're following closely the total shutdown march, which took place on the 1st of August. So what was presented by the total shutdown movement to the president of South Africa was a list of 24 demands that are specific to gender-based violence, you know, that were identified by the women in communities in South Africa as, you know, issues that are in need of addressing immediately. And demand number 18 of those 24 demands speaks to the issue of provision of shelters and, you know, interim houses, housing for survivors of domestic violence. So, you know, there's no stressing it enough that, you know, the levels of rape, the levels of physical violence. If we look at, you know, worst case scenarios like Karabo Mukwena, you know, there's a lot of Karabos in South Africa, you know, every day, even as we speak now, you know, in the first 10 hours of today, a lot of women have lost their lives. Mm. And it impacts, you know, even economically. KPMG did a study that that estimated to about 42 billion that South Africa loses as a result of gender-based violence. So we are faced with an immense problem. Because it's not only impacting at an individual level, a community level, but at a national scale.
Yeah, and the cost to the economy is just huge. The research then was undertaken in the past couple of years in different provinces. What did you find?
So this research, we actually started collecting the data in November 2017. So what we found was that I think the one of the motivations of the research itself was to come up with a costing model for shelters, because it seems as if, you know, when money is allocated at national level, even at provincial treasury and DSD levels, it almost seems like there's no formula as to how they come up to, you know, to a figure to say this is how much we'll fund a shelter for. So in Western Cape, Mpumalanga, KZN, the allocations are different. I mean, over the years, we see that there's an upward trajectory towards, money allocated towards social services, but it's not uniform. And that's for speaking for gender-based violence services as a whole. But we started, so this research uses, shelters as a starting point, an important service, but a starting point of proposing a costing framework for gender-based violence services. So we actually come up with a daily rate of how much government should be paying per woman, per night, per woman with one child, per woman with two children. You know, so it breaks it down to those numbers.
Okay, so what you found was that the system is fragmented. For instance,
yes,
the different allocations and not uniform allocations is because, you know, government would argue that it's because of the different socioeconomic standings of provinces and regions and so on and so on. But you say there must be a standard approach to this, a standard fee for this and that. If it's one child, this is how much must be allocated and so on and so on. What else is contained in your recommendations to the Department of Social Development?
So in one of the recommendations speaks to the issue of, you know, even the remuneration of staff that are working in those facilities. Many of them, their salaries are way below the minimum wage bill, the recommended minimum wage. So, you know, it also becomes a labor issue from that perspective. And, you know, one of the major, in addition to that, one of the findings from this research is that more than 40% of women that are coming into shelters have not completed matric, for example. So there's a need to be empowered with skills for them to be, you know, not to be economically dependent on their abusive partners. So, you know, it's you know, the problem is, it's an economical one. It's a social one. So, you know, it just brings to the fore, you know, the end result of gender-based violence. We talk about it in the form of physical harm and, you know, how it impacts an individual. But we don't think about, you know, the back end of the people that interface with that violence and, you know, the quality, the woman beyond the harm, you know, the psychosocial support they'll need, the legal advice that they'll need, you know, just navigating the criminal justice system and how that itself can be a form of secondary victimization. Because even, you know, in areas where there are no specialized courts, women are sometimes forced to sit on the same bench with the perpetrator who's threatening their life. So it's, I mean, there's so much that's coming out of this report.
We are available at SAFM Radio, by the way. Otherwise, hashtag SAFM Talking Point. That's where you find us if you want to comment on this particular conversation, as we are talking to Chiedza Chaguta, who is a programs manager at Hlanganisa Institute for Development here in Southern Africa. So talk to us then about, because it would appear, you know, for people who are not quite au fait with a shelter, will think that this is the place where people come if you've been, abused by your husband. Maybe you got beaten up that day. That's where you run and then you stay there for a day or two and then you come back. But it's much more involved than that. You're talking about the issue of psychosocial support, for instance, the healing, emotional and physical healing, navigating the criminal justice system with the victim all the way. So that's a huge cost. And how long are some of these women stay in this shelter? What is the timeline? Because for you to heal emotionally, it can actually take you a lifetime.
Yes. So maybe before I actually respond to your question, one of the things that the report lays out is the different types of sheltering that are available. So there is what are called emergency shelters or crisis centers, where women will stay for 3 days and, they're able to mediate, whatever the issue is, or they're able to relocate. They're able to quickly, get out of the shelter. But, there's instances where women will stay from anything between 2 weeks to 6 months. And, a lot of the times women would actually be asked to say, okay, DSD only funds you maybe for 3 months or for 6 months. Beyond that, we don't have any funding for you to remain in the shelter. It depends. It's always a case-by-case thing. But, the fact that many women are economically dependent on their spouses, on their intimate partners, necessitates a longer stay. And, it's interesting that you're saying that, when you think about what a shelter is, you always think it's a place where a woman will go to. First of all, access information on where shelters are actually located is not readily available. But even the police themselves sometimes will not know where shelters in their area are located. And that's a huge problem. And then, the second thing is as to the services that the shelter provides. When we're carrying out the research, a section of the research was done with managers of shelters. So what we found was that a lot of the services that they were costing, that they provided when they were not costing, they didn't consider it as their time, So they would go and they would drive a woman to the court maybe 5 times during the week. They would go to Home Affairs because this woman has left her home in a hurry. She still needs to go and apply for a new ID, ETC, or, her grant card. They'll call in a local psychologist where the social work, it's a case that's beyond the social worker. So there's a lot of these small things in terms of time and resources, relocating children from one school to another, and the time that takes, getting new uniforms, stationery, etc. The shelters have been bearing many of those costs. So,
understanding all these issues, the plight of women broadly in South Africa. I mean, you said in the first 10 hours of the day, there's quite a significant number of abuse that has happened.
Yeah.
Why then this investment drought in the area of, physical areas that take care of women, for instance, the shelters themselves? Why do you not find social entrepreneurs who'll be willing to put money through this? Because some of them, for instance, you'll find that they'd gone through the same system. Now that they've arrived, why are they not looking back and say, we also need to invest here? Perhaps the information is not readily available. Could be the problem.
Yes, I think one, the information is not readily available, but also social services, particularly services provided for adult women, are generally not prioritized in the country. And one of the things that we also recommend is, one of the things that we find is that private sector, for example, is not playing, you know, the role of a responsible corporate citizen in their contribution towards social services. So it's one of the tools. The report is one of the tools that we're actually going to use, you know, to lobby private sector social entrepreneurs to play a more active role, you know, to be more involved. And you know, when you speak to different stakeholders, the question is always, so how much does this service cost? And up until now, we actually didn't really have an exact cost or an estimate cost to say, no, so if a shelter has 300 women each staying for at least an average of 50 nights, you know, this is, you know, the total budget that this shelter requires. And I think the report enables us to come to that point.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it at that. Thank you very much for this report, Chiedza Chaguta, who is a programs manager at Hlanganisa Institute for Development in Southern Africa.